Well, happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to BrewPod Between the Lines podcast. This is your host, Caden Adsit. And Brewers vibes are feeling pretty good so far in this season. Brewers finish up their second road series of the season. Ended up having a postponement due to some rain and inclement weather in yesterday's game in Cincinnati. But a victory on Wednesday, following the last episode that we recorded with a 7-2 victory. We saw some really positive things in that game. We saw Wade Miley in his return. He had a pretty good start in his return. We saw Christian Yelich stay hot and hit his fifth home run of the season. Big question for him early in the season, and I know we've asked this before in years past when he catches hot streaks, but I think this season is a little different, and the question is he back to his MVP caliber type player? Personally, I think so. I think the approach that he's taking at the plate is very positive. I think he's doing a lot of good things. But we will get back to answer that question more on later in the episode. And overall, the Brewers survive the Speedy Reds in the first series, division series of the season, matchup against them. And after following that disappointing 10-8 loss on Monday, where the Brewers played some sketchy defense, had some tough time pitching. Offense was still very strong in that game, but they bounced back really nicely. They got a couple of back-to-back wins on Tuesday and Wednesday. Not to put any pressure or ruin the vibe that's going on, but the Brewers still have yet so far this season to lose back-to-back games. With my luck, I probably just jinxed that, and who knows what we'll see now going into this weekend and into the following week games, but good to see that the Brewers, after the losses, aren't hanging their heads. They're coming back and putting together some good games and getting those victories. So that advances them to 8-3 so far in the young season. Really good start. Again, I know I had talked about this a little bit before, but I think if you were to ask me, was it more probable for the Brewers to start 8-3 or to start 3-8? I'm pretty sure my answer would have been 3-8 just because we have a lot of young talent. Wasn't exactly sure what we were going to get out of some of the guys. Wasn't sure what we were going to see with the pitching staff, which we have seen a little bit of a struggle. But overall, pitching staff's been pretty good. Numbers are pretty comparable to even last year so far in this season. Definitely not quite as dominant starting pitching, but we have seen some really good starts, especially on this road trip, at least the start of this road trip. So hopefully we carry that into as we get towards the top of our rotation again here against the Baltimore Orioles. But first, wanted to give an update on where the roster's at. So earlier this week, we saw AAA catcher Jefferson Cuero undergoing a season-ending surgery for a torn labrum in his throwing shoulder. He ended up dislocating his right shoulder, diving back to first base in one of the AAA games. So really unfortunate to see that. Obviously, he's the Brewers' number 3 ranked prospect. He's a really strong catcher prospect in the major leagues. And I was thinking we might see him up at some point this year, especially with the current struggles we've seen and what I kind of expected from Gary Sanchez early in the year. But just thanks for him. He ended up dislocating that shoulder. The Milwaukee doctors initially didn't see too much, but he ended up getting a second opinion from the same doctor who repaired Brandon Woodruff's shoulder, and they came to the determination that he will undergo a season-ending surgery, and he should be ready for, the hope is from the management of the Brewers, that he'll be back and ready to go for spring of 2025, but still a little bit unfortunate to see him go down so early in the season. Obviously, he was hoping to have the season to work on his development and hopefully at some point get called up this season, but looks like we're going to have to wait on that. So just wanted to give an update on that. We did see with the Wade Miley start, he was reinstated from the 15-day injured list, which sent Kevin Hergett back down to AAA Nashville. I think that move was just to get Aaron Ashby down to AAA quicker, following that one start he had, so he can get in some bullpen work and whatnot on his rest days and probably work on some particular things down there in AAA. And then we did see a positive thing. We saw Trevor Megill traveling with the team in this series against the Cincinnati Reds. So it looks like that concussion, he's recovering from that okay, coming back from that injury. And I'm expecting that we should see his return, probably not this weekend, but in the coming week or so, as we get back to after Baltimore. We continue, have a home series there, and then we continue the road some road trips after that. So yeah, just some positive. I mean, obviously a negative thing on the Jefferson Cuero side, but still some positive things, and not too many moves. I did forget to mention that after Eric Haas was designated for assignment, the Brewers did end up signing him to a AAA contract, which I was planning to talk to a little bit more about later in this episode. And so he's on the AAA roster, and I think it would be expected that we could see him called up at some point this year, especially with Cuero going down and the struggles that we've seen so far from Gary Sanchez. But I'll touch up a little bit back on that here later in the episode. So with that being said, we will dive into Wednesday's Game 3 of the series, which ended up being the rubber match so far in this series. That game that was postponed on yesterday's game on Thursday was moved to August 30th in Cincinnati, so we'll be playing a doubleheader on that Friday now. But to dive into Wednesday's stats, so Yelich opened up the scoring with a two-run home run in the first inning. He continues his hot ways, as I mentioned earlier. And the Brewers really got to Hunter Green early in the game. He was getting behind in counts a little bit. Brewers were putting together a lot of strong at-bats. And we were able to get five runs up in the first two innings. And he ended up settling in pretty nicely. He ended up still tallying six innings pitched, recorded nine strikeouts. But I think the Brewers really did a good job of getting to him before he settled in, before he started locating the fastball and the slider really well. We saw a little bit of the usage of the splitter, but that's kind of his third pitch that he doesn't really tend to use quite as often. But just a lot of good things. I think a lot of good two-out hitting, two-strike hitting, really good approaches from the Brewers hitters, not trying to do too much with the ball, just trying to put solid contact. And Yelich just continues to rake at the plate with his fifth home run of the season already in first 11 games. So that's a really positive thing from that end. Pitching side, we saw Wade Miley come back. In his return, he ended up going four innings, one earned run, one hit, and tallied a couple strikeouts as well. Not a pitcher that's known for his strikeouts, but when he's going well, we see a lot of ground balls, especially from right-handed hitters to the left side of the diamond, and that was exactly what he was doing. He was getting that ground ball. Joey Ortiz and Willy Adames were both very busy on that side of the field, and they did really well. They had that rough game on Monday, Joey Ortiz specifically with a couple errors in that game, but he showed some really good defense again in this game, which we've already come accustomed to and what we're expecting and what we're used to from Ortiz. So a lot of good things on Wade Miley. He was able to get that cutter in on the right-handed hitters, causing in a lot of those ground ball outs. And he was also just doing a really good job of getting ahead and being able to use his off-speed stuff, kind of mix and match some of his pitches. He's clearly not, you know, he doesn't have the high velocity that we've become used to here in today's game. But this is just a clear example of a guy, a veteran guy that understands what pitches play off well, understands what's going on in the batter's minds, and he's able to play his pitches off very well from one another, and it was evident here in this game. Kind of knew that he wasn't probably going to throw too many pitches because he's even in the rehab assignment that he had, we didn't see a ton of a high pitch count there, and we kind of saw that similar as soon as he started to struggle in that fourth inning. Pat Murphy let him finish off the inning, and then we instantly went to the bullpen. And then it ended up being a little bit nice. We didn't have to use too much of the bullpen. We saw Bryce Wilson come in, and he put together a really good three innings of relief, ended up giving one earned run, but really solid outing from Bryce Wilson. And that seemed more like what we're used to seeing from him after he's had a little bit of a struggle so far to start the year, but a good bounce back bullpen session from him in Wednesday's game. So that was really good to see. William Contreras. We saw him extend his hitting streak to 7 days. He had a big two-out, two-RBI single to right field, and we've seen this from him all of last year and into this year, is his ability to drive the ball to the opposite field is incredible. He does it so often, he does it so well, and he just shoots the ball into the right field. And, you know, with the shift that the Reds had on him at that point, he was taking exactly what they were giving him. So, really good things from him, more positive results, and I expect more of the same from him to continue on throughout the season. Back to the bullpen, we did see solid innings also from Hobie Milner and J.B. Bukauskas, and it did end up playing out really well because now the bullpen gets a full day's rest with the rain delay that we had, especially in this tough stretch of schedule that the Brewers are kind of heading into here, especially starting off now this weekend with the Baltimore Orioles, who I predict to represent the American League in the World Series this year. I think they've got some really good young talent. They've got really good pitching. They just seem to have everything and all the bits and pieces that a competing team is looking for in the MLB. Obviously, that franchise has struggled for several years. They made the postseason for the first time in a while last year. First-round exits, but they had a lot higher expectations last year, and I think they're going to use that this year to kind of feed off of that. They made some additions, obviously, with Corbin Burnes and some of the other pitchers that they brought in. But I think it's going to be an interesting weekend. I think we've got two really good teams battling up against one another, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really good test for the Brewers' offense and their pitching staff, and I think it's going to be the best team so far that we'll be seeing here in the 2024 season. But before we kind of dive a little bit more into those matchups, I did want to go back to talking about Christian Yelich. Is he back in his MVP form this year? It's obviously early, still kind of a small sample size, but his approach at the plate seems to be right back to what I remember it being in that 2018-2019 stretch where he put together an MVP and then an MVP runner-up in the National League. And I think he's just putting together some good things. We're seeing his power. We're seeing his ability to take the ball to the opposite field, which is an indicator that he's seeing the ball very well. When we see Christian Yelich at his best, he's driving the ball with authority to the opposite field. We saw that home run on Tuesday to the opposite field. That was in Monday's game. And yeah, I mean, already 5 home runs on the season, .316 batting average. He's posting a .409 on base percentage, so he's still doing a really good job drawing his walks, which we've seen follow him throughout his career. And he's also posting a 1.146 OPS. Those 5 home runs really help up that OPS for sure, but obviously just the other extra base hits and other hits that he's been able to record. Haven't really seen a ton of base running from him yet this year. He's got a couple stolen bases on the season, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's recording a lot of extra base hits, the 5 home runs, the walks he's getting, but usually he's getting those walks, it seems like, with runners ahead of him. And I think it's been really good to have him in that run-producing role, considering that he's kind of finding his stride again, and I think he's going to be a guy that we're going to need to lean on in times when our offense is struggling. We're going to need to lean on him in that run-producing role to be our offense, I'm assuming, for certain stretches of this season. I think we're going to have to do a similar thing with William Contreras. I think both of those guys hitting back-to-back puts a lot of pressure on pitchers, and it seems like very rarely are pitchers able to retire both of those guys so far this year. Both of them doing a phenomenal job, with William Contreras extending his hitting streak, like I said, to 7 games. Yelich with a high batting average, high on-base percentage to start the year. And I think these are going to be the two key veteran, if you want to call Contreras, I consider him in the way he's progressed already at such a young age, kind of a veteran-type player. And I think we're going to need to lean on these guys here when our offense does struggle, which we haven't seen a ton of. We did see one game in that Seattle Mariners series where it seemed like our guys just weren't really putting together quality at-bats. But you're going to have games like that. That's just inevitable where pitchers are dominating. And I think these are the guys that are going to have to step up, and we're going to have to lean on them a little bit to get our offense out of the hole when we need some runs scored. And another thing that's a positive is the Brewers no longer have to face Elly De La Cruz for a while. He had a tear of a series, a phenomenal player, a very electric type player. He's extremely fast. He's got a good bat, and he displayed that here this weekend, or this earlier this week, excuse me. He ended up the series tallying 6 hits, had 3 home runs, including one of those being an inside the park home run. And it was just, he was just dominant. He stole a few bases, and it was just hard for the Brewers pitching staff to keep him off the base. So I'm excited to see players like that play, obviously, and match up against the Brewers. And it's fun to see them display their athleticism, but at the same time, I do not mind not having to play him when he is heating up, because he can carry that Reds offense with no problem at all when he gets hot, which it seems like he's beginning to get there after a little bit of a slow start to begin the year. And another thing, I think the Brewers did a pretty good job silencing the red-hot Spencer Steer for the Reds for the majority of the series. He had a couple of hits in this series. He had a couple of RBIs as well, which he's been one of the league's leading run producers so far this season. But I think for the most part, as hot as he was swinging the bat in that series against the Nationals, carrying into the rest of the series that the Reds have played this year, I think the Brewers did a pretty good job at limiting him and limiting the damage that he was able to produce. So I think that was a positive for the pitching staff on that point as well. But overall, pretty good series for the Brewers. Ended up with, I don't know if you want to call it a series victory, as technically there's still one more game in that has been pushed back to late August. But even and then, it's at least an even series, even 4-game series. So still positive things moving in the right direction for the Brewers. With that being said, I did want to discuss a little bit about, since we have some time and not quite as much content to cover game-wise, I did want to mention, I think Gary Sanchez is a little bit of a question mark still for the Brewers. I do understand why they got him, why they pulled him up instead of Eric Haas, even though I think I would have more personally rather seen Eric Haas in the opening day roster. They decided to go with Gary Sanchez, but the struggles that I kind of thought we were going to see is exactly what we're seeing. I know he's not getting a ton of playing time, but he hasn't recorded a hit yet this season. A lot of those at-bats that he's been having have resulted in strikeouts. And we did see him get one. We did see him with one caught stealing, throwing out a runner at second there in that series against the Mariners. But it's just still a bit of a question mark to me. I don't fully understand. I know you can't take William Contreras out of the lineup. Obviously, he wants to be in there in the catching position on a day-by-day basis. But I just think that Eric Haas is a better option in a pinch-hit position, if that's where they want to, you know, mainly use him. As the season progresses, catchers seem to get worn out a lot earlier than a lot of the other players. So, I mean, at some point, Contreras is going to have to probably take a day, 2 days off in a row from catching. And I'm sure Pat Murphy smartly will put him in the DH position, because he's just doesn't seem to be a bat that we want to leave out of the lineup, especially the way that he's hitting so far this year. I just don't quite understand Gary Sanchez. He hasn't really shown me anything that's eye-opening from my standpoint. It is still early, so I will give him a little bit more time, but I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm almost crossing my fingers a little bit to see a move here if Eric Haas continues his hot ways in AAA games. So far, since he was moved to AAA, he's hitting .333 with a home run and 4 RBIs. Not a large sample size with only 18 at-bats, but still continuing what we saw a lot of in spring training. And I would just think, you know, if the Brewers management sees that, they've got to be seeing the same thing, unless they're seeing something in Eric Haas that I guess I'm not from my standpoint, which is very possible. I just think he's a better option to have in there. I think he provides more of an offensive pop But maybe Gary Sanchez will turn it around. I'm not going to... I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, as it is early in the season. Just haven't really seen too much production from him thus far, and I don't know if I really see too much of a change here in any of the games here coming up. But we'll see. Hopefully he's able to prove me wrong. I wouldn't be upset with that at all, but just wanted to point that out and touch on that topic a little bit as well. So heading into this weekend, the Brewers have their top of the starting rotation. We'll see our top three guys in that rotation with Freddy Peralta going later today. He'll match up against Tyler Wells for the Baltimore Orioles. We'll see D.L. Hall for the Brewers on Saturday facing his former team in Dean Kramer. And then Sunday is going to be a fun game. We do end up facing Corbin Burns, and we'll have a very different style pitcher in Colin Rea on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. Two completely different styled pitchers. Corbin Burns, we saw him for so many years exhibit that really high-speed cutter. He's got a really good slider. I was actually watching the game that he pitched against the Red Sox. He's been using the curveball pretty evenly to how he was utilizing it for the Brewers in that last season. And he's got just all of his pitches are just so nasty. If he's locating, he's just almost untouchable. And he is doing exactly that so far this year. He has been dominant. He's posted some high strikeout games, which we did see a lot when he was a Milwaukee Brewer. But it'll be interesting. Colin Rea is going to have to dial it in. He's done that so far this season. We've seen some really good outings from Colin Rea, but hopefully against Corbin Burns and the Orioles offense, he's able to continue that, and we will see what goes on with that. Moving on to the Orioles offensive side, a lot of really good young talent on this team. I really like this team. I think they have a really good, strong roster. Hence why that's the reason, and they've displayed that so far this year, hence the reason I think they're going to represent the American League in the World Series here this year. So I think it's going to be a really good matchup for the Brewers here early in the season. They just called up the MLB number one prospect, Jackson Holliday. He's still looking to record his first hit after he's had a couple of 0-4 affairs in the Boston Red Sox series. And, of course, he's going to get a big standing ovation from the Baltimore faithful, I'm sure. And that'll be exciting to see that. Congrats to him. And we've been waiting for that. Kind of were expecting to see that on the opening day roster. But I think for some money reasons and whatnot, the Orioles decided to give him a little time in AAA. But it obviously didn't take long for him to be called up. So it's going to be fun to see a lot of these guys. They've got, you know, a lot of other sensational young talent like Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson, Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, Colton Cowser, who just had a tear of a series against the Red Sox in Boston. He tallied his first couple home runs of his career, had 10 RBIs in the series, hoping to get him to cool down a little bit when the Brewers match up against him. Otherwise, it could be a very long series for the pitching staff. They've also got Jordan Westberg. So just up and down the roster, I mean, you could go through almost all these guys and just talk about how sensational and how much of a positive impact they make on this team. So it's going to be a really good matchup. I really hope the Brewers are able to kind of limit their offense, quiet the offense. Hopefully we're able to continue our hot hitting against the starting pitching that we've seen so far this year. Brewers pitching has just been manhandling starting pitching to start the year, and I hope we're able to see a lot of that same stuff here. But we will see in this weekend series. We'll see what the Brewers bring with this day off. Hopefully they're a little bit more rested in the bullpen, which we'll probably need at a pretty high rate, I'm kind of thinking, for this weekend. I'm assuming it'll be a lot of close games. I think there's going to be some battles. We might even see some offensive battles that we've seen so far in this season, which is still a little bit of a change for me as a Brewers fan. We're so used to seeing the 2-1, 3-1, you know, 4-3, low scoring affairs. But this year so far with our offense and our pitching staff, seems like it might be a little bit more of the high scoring game standards that we're going to be getting used to. So that pretty much covers all of the topics that I wanted to talk about today. And with that, you guys know BrewPod Between the Lines podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and other mainstream podcast sites. I can always be reached on social media using @brew_pod on Twitter or by searching BrewPod Between the Lines on Facebook or Instagram. I believe today's game is shown on Apple TV, which means I probably will not be able to view it. I will definitely go back and watch whatever I am able. Watch highlights. I'll be following the play-by-play analysis that they have there that they show at MLB. So thankful for that. Be able to follow that. And just hopefully the Brewers are able to steal another series. Hopefully we're able to walk into Baltimore, put together some good at-bats. And I think this is going to be a really good matchup, an interleague matchup, our third series so far. It's kind of strange with that way early in the season, but with the new schedule that they started last year, I think we're obviously going to be seeing a lot more of that. So, but another road series for the Brewers, and hopefully we're able to come out with a couple wins. But yeah, with that, we will hopefully you guys are able to catch some of the games this weekend, or at least keep tallies on it. Bucks basketball has been heating up, and overall, Wisconsin sports seems to be playing pretty well. Bucks will be moving towards the playoffs here pretty soon, so that'll be exciting to see them play in those games. But nonetheless, hopefully the Brewers are able to collect some more wins, and we will see how they play against the Baltimore Orioles this weekend. So yep, with that, we will see you guys next time. Talk to you soon. And of course, go Brewers.